Well, by all means.
Let's go ahead and get started.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so blessed to live in a community that reaches out when there's a need. The way all the places responded to our first responders and officers. And God, especially this family that lost this precious child and is in the presence of the living God today. And be with us this day, God, and bless our commissioners' court, God, as they make decisions for our county. We just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Union of Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, Chad. Afternoon. Start here with number one, open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Does anyone have anything they want to address that's not on the agenda?
I'm the old rock.
Afternoon, Mr. Rothrock. How are you doing?
All right. I want to know how much the Mobile Oil paid us taxing on the tax invasion.
Mobile Oil?
Yeah, for that new pipeline they're going to put through here.
Oh. Do you remember that? He's asking about the pipeline agreement that we sent to ExxonMobil. How much was it? I don't remember off the top of my head.
I don't remember off the top of my head either, other than that it had some
strength. Did they pay us enough to... Did they pay us enough to pay the taxes for the first year? Where they can go 99 years without paying any more?
We did
it. It was a lease. Or
that was a lease.
It wasn't a tax. It was not an abatement.
Right. It was the what if you're talking about what we handled in court before, and again, we don't normally address the public comments, but just so we're on the same sheet of music. What we did in court before was a lease agreement for their pipeline, nothing to do with taxes. We didn't have anything to discuss about their taxes that I recall.
That pipeline going to go all the way to Kentucky to that new refinery.
Okay.
And most of this tax abatement mess just pays the taxes for 1 year, and then they go 99 years without paying any more taxes.
I understand.
If you look at that real close, we got pipelines running all over Orange County, and we're not getting 1 cent off them.
That's true. It's an issue for us.
Huh?
That's true. It's an issue for us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We need to straighten up our bookkeeping.
Is there anyone else?
Good afternoon, Judge and Commissioners. For the record, I'm Rhonda Masters, Outreach Coordinator for Southeast Texas for the General Land Office. And I just wanted to come to reiterate probably some information that you are already aware of, that the homeowner reimbursement program will be opening and launching statewide on Thursday. And I wanted to just make myself available in case there were any questions here from the judge or from the commissioners. It is a new program, a pilot program, that's going to provide $100 million statewide for homeowners to seek reimbursement if they have done repairs to their home as a result of the hurricane or as a result of Hurricane Harvey. And we will accept receipts on repairs done from the hurricane up through February 27th, up through the program launch date. The office will be open The regional office will be open in Beaumont at 505 Orleans, and we will have an intake center here in Orange County at the Expo Center.
Expo.
Yes, but I need to get, I think it's going to be similar to the HAP program in that once they, we're going to open first in Beaumont, and so we'll be open there Thursday and Friday, and either the following week, or the next week, once they see the volume, they will tweak it a little bit and then go out to the satellite locations.
When do you expect to come to Orange to the Expo?
I don't know exactly, and I called today trying to find out if they had a better idea. But it is a program that you can apply online starting Thursday. You can also, they're encouraging that, and they're also encouraging that you can go to Beaumont. The location there will be open from 8 to 6.
Where is the location?
It's at 505 Orleans.
That's downtown.
Downtown on the first floor. Our homeowner assistance program, that's the regional office there, and they're on the second floor. And the reimbursement program is located on the first floor.
And what are their hours in Beaumont?
They're from 8 to 6, Monday through Friday.
And that's right going on right now or starting Thursday?
It's going to start on Thursday morning at 8.
And the cap amount on that per house is?
$50,000, yes. So I know it's an issue of great importance to all of our area residents, and I want to thank the judge and thank the commissioners for being involved. I know you've participated in our conference calls and supplied good information and feedback to us to make the program work for everyone.
In response to the conference calls, they had two recently. The first one that we were on, one of the things that came up was reimbursements for small business loans.
Yes.
And it's my understanding from Congressman Babin that the original intent of what they passed was it should have covered that, but HUD is not agreeing with that at this time. What they said on the conference call, if anybody got a small business loan, go ahead and apply. What they're going to try to do, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm pretty sure you were on that call too.
I was.
Go ahead and apply. They are going to attempt to get the waiver for that so that the small business loans will be covered. There's no guarantee that will happen, but they're going to do their best to try to help us out with that. And I think that's a good thing. Otherwise, it covers loans dipping into your IRA. I mean, straight loans dipping into your IRAs, Uncle Bob, whatever it is.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a good thing for us. I'll warn you right now. I think y'all go ahead and plan them. We're going to need somebody.
I've been telling them. I said, y'all don't know, but so I guess they think they have to see it before, but
we'll probably take a couple of somebody's and be able to keep them busy.
And I will, and I want you to know, I will be monitoring that. I'll be checking in with Michelle over at the Expo Center, and I'll be looking at it and monitoring and giving that feedback back to the Austin headquarters and back to the vendor and letting them know so that we'll be able to provide the correct level of service to your residents.
And I appreciate all that, too. Thank you for all your help.
Thank you.
You too, Michelle. Anyone else?
Good afternoon, Judge and Commissioners. I have an announcement that Orange County Disaster Rebuild is bringing Camp Noah back. I don't know if you guys remember last summer we were able to bring this camp down on behalf of a Rebuild Texas grant that was received from Camp Noah, and we were able to be one of those recipients of that camp last summer. Well, this year they're bringing back two camps in just in Orange, and those camps range between $15,000 to $20,000 per camp, and so thanks to Rebuild Texas and their generosity, they gave the money to Camp Noah to bring these camps to the most affected areas. So our first camp is going to be next week. We're holding it in Vider, First Baptist in Vider off of Main. They've never done an after-school program before, so it's going to be an after-school program, and it will be starting Monday the 4th through the 8th. We have 17 children that are registered and sign up, and we can take up to 50. So if you know of any of constituents that have children that would be interested in participating in this camp, it's a free camp. They will have dinner and a snack, and it starts at 4, and it lasts till 7:30. They have a group that's coming in from Wisconsin that's actually going to, they're traveling here. It's a college student and a teacher, 13 volunteers that are coming in to do this camp for our children. So we appreciate them. Camp NOAA is free of charge for our county, and it's free of charge for our children. It's to help build resiliency, and this camp comes in to help children deal with anxiety and different things that come with storms, any kind of natural disaster. So we're very fortunate. Just look them up on the internet. They have been all over the United States doing these camps. And so if you know any children, please encourage them to sign up. The link's on here on the form that I gave everyone today, so just please forward that to your constituents. So if you do you have any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Everyone else? Commissioners?
Come back from the Golden Triangle days, and we got to meet with some agencies that helped us out, I believe, and moving forward on a lot of things. And also, me and John just got back from commissioner school, and again, we got to meet with TxDOT. There's a new grant program coming out for some sidewalks. One of the areas I was looking at was that ML King from West Orange Stark Elementary all the way up to Sykes Road. A lot of folks walk on the road right there. It's really a dangerous situation. So I've contacted the City of Orange. They're going to take the lead on that since a part of that is in their city limits. And I think it'll be a joint thing between Pinehurst, Orange, and the county, because I think that we certainly need some sidewalks right there if someone gets hurt in that area. Mm-hmm. So just one of the contacts we made. Got to see some equipment that maybe the county could use if we ever get any money. especially on the mowers, on the ditch mowers. They got some boom mowers that really look good. Me and John got to look at some of those. And so overall, it's really, really good conference, even though it was in College Station. But it was still a very good conference.
The sidewalks that you were talking about, for my own edification, is that something that only municipalities can take advantage of, or can counties?
Counties can do it as well. I think John's looking at the area as well in the Orangefield, and they've got a limited amount of money, but they just started the program as the conference started. So I made a phone call actually from College Station to kind of get the ball rolling. So hopefully first chance to get money. And I think John was looking at the area on 105, if yeah. I recall. So yes, so definitely.
Commissioner Meekin.
Orange County Day, or really it was Golden Triangle Days this year, and it was a very good time for us to talk to other people in the Golden Triangle about what's going on with them and what's going on with us, and make contacts and meet people. And I have dealt with TxDOT now, and I've already gotten some things done from that, so that was a plus.
Same thing. You know, Golden Triangle Days is a good opportunity for us to sit down with our representatives, sit down with the folks that run these departments, and get to have time. Matter of fact, one of the ones we sat down with, as soon as we sat with them, told us how important it is that we take the time to come up there and see them, because when you sit with them, you get to sit with their whole committee. They're people that do the job, not just them, because if they come out here, it's usually a really quick visit. So, but one of those meetings was with the Texas Water Development Board, and, you know, because Orangefield Water Supply is a very they're strapped pretty tight with what they can do, but they're experiencing the majority of the growth right now. So we went and met with the Water Board about some opportunities of just different ways of financing to help them expand and help them grow, because a lot of our growth is going out in the Orangefield area. So we're working with them now to get them in touch, or to get them to get their applications filled out so that they can do some stuff with because Orangefield is definitely growing, and it's outgrowing their sewer and water that they have currently. So we're trying to help them get some stuff.
Mauriceville
has the same thing. And so,
When
you sit down with those folks, you get to ask those questions, and they get to show you the stuff that you can do. But also on the TxDOT issue with the thing, actually mine was in front of the Orangefield schools, the sidewalks there, and expanding the sidewalks that they have. Johnny was right. They said that grant process opened the day we were at the conference, so I called Dr. Patterson right there. He got his grant administrator on the phone. They actually got in touch with them. They actually filled their grant out the very first day it was available to get some sidewalks put in front of the rest of the way in front of the Orangefield schools and stuff, because, you know, a lot of those kids walk up and down those those areas right there, and it's Highway 105. Everybody knows it's a highly traveled road. So just some of the needs, and we've got some money available, and we want to use it. And so we're gonna see if we can't get that. But you're just good meetings all around. You get good information when you go to that stuff.
Just want to reiterate what they said about the Golden Triangle Days. I found it very useful. Speaking on the sidewalks, on the Biders City Council meeting for Thursday night, they're already got it on their agenda to move steps to sidewalks, possibly down Orange Street, and if it works out, the high school. I'd like to recognize Miss Lisa over there wearing her A&M colors, keeping in line with the A&M theme going on here. She said she was going to kill me if I did that. And that's all I have, Judge.
Okay.
No witnesses.
We're going to go ahead and move on then to number two. If nobody else has anything, discussion and possible action regarding approval of a proclamation recognizing Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month in March.
Hi, I'm Lane Portenberry. I'm the Public Relations and Marketing Administrator for Spindletop Center, and I brought Patricia Allen, who is the Consumer Relations Specialist at Spindletop Center, and we just wanted to thank Orange County for recognizing March 2019 as National IDD Awareness Month. I do have the proclamation here if you guys would like me to read it.
Awesome.
So, whereas intellectual and developmental disabilities cause significant limitations both in intellectual functioning and in adaptive behavior, which covers many everyday social and practical skills, and originates before the age of 18, and whereas an estimated 200 million people worldwide, or 3% of the population, has IDD, and whereas individuals with IDD reside in Southeast Texas, and whereas people with IDD want to live, work, socialize, and participate in community life as much as possible, and whereas Spindletop Center serves individuals with IDD in Jefferson, Hardin, Orange, and Chambers counties and believes in treating all people with dignity and respect, and whereas Spindletop Center will host its annual IDD Fun Day to celebrate the abilities and of the individuals we serve on Friday, March 22nd, now therefore be it resolved that the Orange County Commissioners Court recognizes March 2019 as National IDD Awareness Month and call upon all citizens of Orange County to observe this month with appropriate programs and activities to support IDD awareness efforts in our community. And I wanted to let Patricia make a few remarks.
Just want to thank y'all on behalf of Spindletop Center for the support that you give our center, not only as a professional, but as a parent. I have a child with autism, and the services that our families receive are vital in not only quality of life, but just overall family well-being. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on between the entities around here, particularly Orange County and the Spindletop Center. I consider that a really good partnership. I know the Sheriff's Department works closely with you guys, and there's some of the things that y'all help us with. I don't know how we'd handle it without you.
It's a huge impact for our families and our community at large.
It is.
That's pretty much that.
Do they go ahead and move to approve the proclamation?
Second.
1 and 3. 1, 2, aye. Judge, aye. 3, aye. 4, aye.
That was one of the things that when we were at our conference last week that they discussed. One of the speakers was with the mental health and the stability in Texas, and it was kind of an eye opening whenever you see what. How many beds that used to be provided in the state of Texas 20 years ago to how many beds and stuff are provided for that kind of activities these days, and how much has decreased, and how much funding it's more on the local funding efforts now than it ever has been.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
It was, but I do know that they were talking about, the reason they were talking was that they're trying to work at state level to put funding back into that.
That's what I heard.
Which we need.
The bright side is they're looking to add beds finally.
We definitely, need the money needs to be locally and keep families together and keep, the services here in our communities, not elsewhere.
Yes. When you think about a state the size of Texas and the number of beds they have at mental facilities, it's kind of staggering.
Yeah.
Hang on just a second.
Okay.
We'll have it all signed. We can get your picture.
Absolutely.
If you want.
I would like one, yes, thank you.
Do we ever really let them have a choice if they take a picture? We always kind of just tell them to take a picture. Hey,
that's fine with us.
It's sort of kind of a choice.
I just ask you, don't run off with it. Take it.
A copy. Absolutely.
I've let a few escape. We had to run down the parking lot.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Would you mind giving me a photo of us?
Pardon?
You just barely got your head in around
this
gentleman's shoulder.
Well, he's so tall.
He is. What's he doing in the
front? And he has so much hair.
I got you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Plus, when we all, you know, when we all suck in, you know, make the picture look better, we get taller.
I don't suck in. That, I need to do that, maybe.
Okay, move on to number 3. Closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.071 to discuss with Assistant County Attorney matters regarding pending or threatened litigation.
Judge, I would ask that the courtroom be cleared, save and except for myself, Sheriff Merritt, and our outside legal counsel, Larry Sims. And no record.
So be it. We'll come back into open session at 2:31. So, number 4, return to open meeting. Take any action deemed necessary based upon discussion in closed meeting. There's
no
action.
Action. At this time.
Very good. No action. We will move on to number 5. Discussion and possible action authorizing County Treasurer to process payroll for pay period ending February 24th. 2019, including all supporting payroll liabilities and garnishment orders.
So moved.
Second.
1 and 2. 1. 2.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Number 6, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court revenue received from City of Pine Forest, check number 2071 for $453.90. These funds are reimbursement for road materials. Anything on that?
Motion.
Second.
4 and 3. 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Number 7, discussion possible action regarding release of pledged collateral from the Federal Reserve Bank and authorizing County Treasurer to sign release as follows. CUSIP? C-U-S-I-P?
CUSIP.
CUSIP? Am I pronouncing it wrong? Okay. 2KTO in the amount of $385,000. These pledges are over the required collateral needed as of the current date. Simple rollover.
This is collateral that our banks have on our deposits, and they're wanting to release this, and they're always collateralized
by
4.4
million,
so they've got
plenty
of collateral.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
1 and 2. 1. Eight. 2.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Number 8, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $75,296.96 to the Texas Association of Counties Health and Employees Benefit Pool from the General Fund 001-101-512-70 for group medical, dental, life, and retiree insurance under the age of 65 for February 2019. And B, $74,554.12 to the United Healthcare Insurance Company from the General Fund 001-101-512-70 for retiree group insurance for 65 years of age and older for the month of March 2019. Lisa, is there more?
Yes, sir. I have a scheduled bill by funding department. Fund 1, which is general fund, $420,908.80. Fund 2, road and bridge, $11,476.57. Fund 3, mosquito control, $565.08. Fund 6, adult probation, $12,597.02. Fund 34, airport, $5,908.50. And other funds, $5,677, for a total
$457,132.97.
And then the debt service payment.
Yes, and the debt service payment, $312,918.25.
Right.
A little different.
I wish,
yeah.
Could have been
good.
Move to pay the bills
listed
by the
I second that.
One and two. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number nine, discussion and possible action regarding the adoption of a special budget in accordance with the provisions of Local Government Code 111.106, funds received after the adoption of the 2018-19 for recovery of from the 2015 spring weather flood, FEMA... 2015? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking 16. 2015 spring weather event flood, FEMA DR 4223... I guess that's going to be our project worksheet 467. Total revenue and account number 036000444 50, FEMA special budget revenues in the amount of $109,893. Expenditure 036987 57530, street improvements and repairs also in the amount of $109,893.
Wait, just a second. I want to ask, is Clark, there's Clark behind the pole. Clark, and we're very familiar with it on Lynn Road in Mauriceville, that FEMA came out and marked some areas. Y'all went with them, I think.
Well, they marked.
Y'all marked it, but I think a FEMA, somebody was with y'all at
right,
one point.
Right, right. We marked roads for Danny.
Yes.
For FEMA to come look at.
Okay.
This is actually on the 4 Oak Branch Road, this particular item, sheet pile repair.
And it's for the 2015 flood.
Right.
So this doesn't count into that?
No.
I was wishing.
Well, we're still
okay.
Not giving us the results yet.
Okay. Thank you so much.
We still got 2016 to go.
We still got 2016 out there.
Thank you. Now you.
Somebody made a motion.
Who made
it? I made a second. Second.
Oh. Three and four. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number 10, discussion and possible action to approve the appointees for Orange County Historical Commission Board as per listing, which will be filed for record in the Orange County Clerk's Office.
Yeah, Betty.
Jerry Lee. Jerry was here.
Good afternoon. We were more, but some had to leave, so beg your pardon for that. Do you have the names of who's going to be reappointed?
Yes, ma'am. Would you like me to read through them, or do you want? Do you want me to read through them, or do you want to?
Well, we're not all here. Yeah, let us know if we've all been reappointed.
I know if you're quite ready. Before you do, would you identify yourself for the county clerk's record?
I can't hear you.
Would you identify yourself, say your name?
Okay, I'm sorry. My name is Betty Harmon. I'm vice chairman of the Orange County Historical Commission. Our chairman, Jerry Pinkton, had to leave. He had a case this afternoon. And these are the members, Leslie Williams. She is a member for the last 7 years, taking the place of her mother and her father, Dr. Williams. And this is Charlotte Chason, and she is a new member of our board, if so appointed.
Okay. The list of membership includes Jerry Pennington, chairman, Betty Harmon, vice chairman, Nancy Pivoteau, Karen Maddox. Am I saying that right?
Maddox.
Maddox. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Williams, Margaret Toll, Jean Long, Bo Henley, Sylvia Bland, Dawn Burley, Tanya Barnwell, Jack Smith, Bruce Lockett, Cecil Broom, Mary McCoy, Johnny Trahan, Henry Lowe, and Charlotte Chason.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's our list, yes.
That sounds like a pretty good list.
I'm sorry?
That sounds like a very good list.
Yes.
Did you not get the other four names?
I do have an invitation for you, if you'll allow me after you vote.
Hold on, he's saying that there's four more names.
I know Sarah Beth Bain was one of them.
Is Sarah Beth one of them, Betty?
These are what I have.
Leslie, Sarah Beth.
I sent
Did you send it with
the No.
Wait, she's saying Sarah Beth.
With the Orange. No, no, no. You're confusing society. Us with the Historical Society.
Okay. Baywright Los Angeles.
We're the commission that represents Orange County.
Okay.
We do the historical markers.
Okay. Then I make a motion. We accept.
I think she's not done.
Oh, I thought she was.
Are you done? I'm sorry. Yeah.
I just have an invitation to give y'all, let you see what we do. I may as well go ahead and say what it is. The historical marker dedication for the train depot will be March the 7th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon till 7. Our sign has come in. The reason we do the study on these signs, and we have to approve the writing and what's on it, and it comes to us. Sometimes it's a year and a half, and that's what it's been on the depot. We have a team in our commission that gets together, and we're assigned the work that needs to go for whatever we take on. And so that's why it takes us so long. But we are a dedicated group, and we work for the county, and we are represented in each one of the cities within the county.
Judge, I want to really comment before we start the vote. Orange really does have some very interesting history.
It does.
Some of it good, some of it not so good, but it's
history. Because I can go back to my ancestors who landed on that river out here in 1827.
It's good that we preserve that history, and I thank all the work you do. But Leslie, especially your dad. Your dad was a pioneer on doing all that.
Yes.
And he put together stuff that if it had not been for him, would have been lost. So we appreciate all the work that he did. And I very much value our history, and I thank y'all for all that y'all did.
And the depot has also done a lot with the pictures on the walls and all that of documenting, which I think is good.
It's a wonderful building, and we're so blessed to have it because so many clubs and organizations are renting the building to have their everything that they're having. The only reason we had planned to have it exactly as a museum when it opened, but because of funding and finances to bring forth all the stuff, we started charging $100 for a party or an activity or something to have it there. So that's how we're making some more money to let it go. Okay.
Okay.
Want to give it
thank you.
So is now the time I can make the motion?
I want to make
a motion to accept their appointees for the Orange County Historical Commission Board.
Okay. Thank you.
Two and one.
John, thank you.
One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Does Leslie have permission to hand you an invitation?
Yeah. I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
And Martin has your right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Number 11, discussion and possible action authorizing Teresa Beecham, Commissioner Precinct 2, to go over the travel policy hotel rate of $175 per night and be reimbursed $239 plus tax per night for the two-night stay in Austin, Texas on February 11th, 2019 and February 12th, 2019.
Well, so, I'd like to say something.
You can. I was going to make a motion.
I think you all have listened to us say Golden Triangle Days was a very important time for us to be there. And I wasn't even really, I knew we always had it because I always went with the council. But I didn't know when it was until someone called me about a week before and told me. And when you go to these that I've been to for years, you stay at a block hotel group. And I'm thankful for her to being able to get me a reservation from a cancellation. But it didn't the price didn't change. We were getting this block price for everybody that was there. And the shuttle bus worked from there, took us back and forth to the Capitol, took us to meetings, took us to an event at night, did all this. And so it's all right. It's there. And that's where you stay when you go to one of these things. So as far as the way this reads, that to be reimbursed $239, it was about $50 in difference in what. But you don't stay at a Holiday Inn or something.
Yeah. Well, and I'll add to that. You know, we have actually looked at doing some form of action on the, on our hotel rates, because that, this just affects us. We have a lot of our people that go to training and go to stuff, and it's always at a particular place that's usually higher than what you're going to do, and it doesn't do any good to stay 10 miles away or 20 miles away to get a cheaper room anyway. And it's just, and this amount has been in place for a long time, and it just isn't with the current rate. So we probably at some point need to make that move, because ours, the rest of us that went, will be on the agenda for next week, because I don't think we can add it in as an amendment to this one, since it named you specifically, I think, right, Denise?
Can we amend this to all four commissioners, or does it need to,
because
we've
got
to
turn ours in for next week.
We can do it,
it's
next
all the
week
same thing.
Just to authorize it, yes.
We
I don't
can?
See why not.
Okay, because I mean,
I do want to add one thing about mine. I did get a ride there with somebody from the city of Orange, and I got a ride home. I was a little orphanini with someone with somebody from the port. So no money was, I yeah. saved the county money, and our food was almost all taken care of except yeah. that one night. So everything
Yeah, I mean, I think it's for sure something we need to look into, because it affects everybody, and we need to correct that.
We're constantly going over it, you know.
And we need to adjust that.
Everybody's going to be over by the exact same amount.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
we all stay the same place.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I'm familiar with my island. I'm kind of starting to enjoy the palm tree, but I would say this, that there is nothing wrong with going and meeting and talking about the issues here. I do think we need to look at doing it a little bit differently. I like to be able to have the forum here to be able to handle our business. If we do go over, and the hotel rate that we talked about is $175 a night, most of the trips, I think, it very rarely comes up that we go over, or
it
the employees depends, for that matter.
That's right.
Yeah, every time we go, and we bring.
Oh, we don't always go to Austin. All I'm saying is we very rarely go over the rate. So I would hate to adjust it just for the one place in Texas that apparently likes to. I don't want to say overcharge, but they're very expensive. But this isn't about the rate per night. This is about the rate per total. So do we need to put the total in this? Because
it's
the total in this would be.
It's the per night.
Per night.
Right, but the total amount that would be funded would be, if I'm not mistaken, $512. Four people, two nights, $64 over.
Well, I wouldn't really add them up until you actually have the bills turned in.
I'm just trying to figure out about how.
Well, I'm saying for us to approve this to be able to amend it, we're have to move it. We're just approving the per night adjustment to the $239.
Right.
For
this
all
isn't
four.
Actually authorizing yeah. the payment yet.
Yes.
This is just approving a variation
from what our policy is to a new rate. And like I said, we've done this multiple times.
And all I'm saying is, just for transparency's sake, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do the math. So 500. I'm asking.
But your math. You don't know if Johnny's going to turn his in. You don't know if John's going to turn his in. You don't know if I'm going to turn mine in.
I don't. And that's what, one of the things I'm asking. Of course, he actually just said on the record that
I'm turning mine in.
They are turning theirs in. So, I mean, we can get that answer. I'm just trying to be transparent with it.
And that's the thing. Is that, and that, this came up before.
It's plus tax. So you're not going to have an exact dollar.
Yeah.
On anything.
I understand that. But I didn't want folks to think, well, it was just, you know, the total. I know we can't get with the tax, but we can get in the ballpark so people know what we're talking about. Well, that's all I was doing.
I mean, you're welcome to multiply 239 times 8 and say up to that amount.
Well, it wouldn't be all of that, because 175 is covered.
Then
it's only the difference, the $64. So that's all I was doing.
But that's what I'm saying, though. And that's, I think that's why we brought it up in the past, is where do we – look, I don't have a problem. I don't think any of us do. Of course, it's not even on the discussion today about changing the rate as a permanent
right.
policy.
No, it's not.
It's just about changing this deal. I'm just saying in the future we probably need to look at it. But in the – if you know, if every time we bring it up that we're going to go over, someone in our employment goes over because they went to a conference and we're going to make a big deal out of it, then I just assume change the policy so it doesn't have to be a big deal every time. And that's kind of common. That would be a future motion that we would have to do. This one is just about this particular stay at this particular conference.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Commissioners.
All right, so I amend the motion to approve all four commissioners' rate from the $175 per night to be reimbursed at the $239 plus tax rate for the two-night stay in Austin for Golden Triangle Days.
That's sufficient?
I think so.
Have a second?
Second.
One,
Two.
Aye.
Judge, no. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Twelve. Discussion and possible action regarding the acceptance of Constable Precinct 4's racial profiling exemption and acknowledge the filing of the same with the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. This is similar to the two that was from last week. The constables, as discussed last week, are exempt from the racial profiling reporting.
Well, I make a motion that we accept the Constable's Precinct 4 racial profiling exemption.
I'll second it.
Two and four. One.
Three.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number 13, discussion and possible action to accept the National Park Service grant that Orange County has been awarded. The National Park Service announced that Orange County has been selected to receive assistance from the National Park Service Rivers Trails Conservation Assistance Program. NPS staff will assist Orange County with their efforts to improve county park properties, including Claiborne West Park. The Orange County project is one of seven new projects accepted by the NPS in Texas this year. This will be at no cost to the county.
We're really excited about this. This was something that we have put in motion probably over a year or so ago, put in the application. We were Commissioner Trahan and I were at a conference at Lamar, and they were there talking about these wonderful grants that they've done to other places around the different states. And so we were excited about it, and so we applied, and so we were very fortunate to be one of the seven.
What kind of plans do you have?
Does this include the bathrooms and the pavilions at all?
So this is only going to so we have a Section 428 with FEMA that we've talked about before in Commissioner's Court. So that won't interfere with that. So that we will do FEMA first. But basically what they do, they come in, and it's kind of the vision of what the community wants to see. And so their goal is to come in and kind of do a collaboration of getting all the partners that want to have a say, and I'm kind of saying what is their vision for the park, and they actually go out and try to do an action master plan so we can figure out a way and to, I guess, fund it. But also with their endorsement, they will actually go out and help us find grants we can write get funds for.
Yeah, we had a meeting following that, Ms. Train and all of us with them, and they were very helpful in looking at what their basic deal is. They help you plan. And then when they come up with a plan, they basically help you with funding avenues and give you some direction to go chase that, because they work with it all the time.
Well, the day we talked on the phone with them, they were very positive.
Yes.
Very positive.
And he was going to come down here.
They're very excited. They this area is very, especially Claiborne Park, has a lot of nature, and so they want to preserve it. And so there's a lot of ideas they will bring to the table, a lot of ideas that we can bring to the table, and kind of seeing if it will work. And so their goal is to come. It's not only Claiborne, it's for Bluebirds and Bailey's. And so it's not, but it's going to benefit all of Orange County. So we're really excited. So hopefully with their endorsement, it brings a lot to the table.
It
so,
sure does.
They're very nationally known in the state of Texas, or in our state. And so as long as we have this little emblem and they're endorsing us, being down here and doing this action plan, I feel very confident that we're going to see some changes.
And at one time, Claiborne Park was listed as one of the top 10 parks in the state of Texas. And I think we're going to get back up there.
I hope so.
Johnny and I and you and Sabrina, we're going to take a tour with Johnny as a chauffeur in his deer machine.
We're going to go out there and do some more exploring. We want to look at, one of the things, of course, we want to look at is the pedestrian bridge and see what we can do with that. And there's a lot of things that park can become. And I want to
Sabrina and her staff has really worked hard there. So I would just facilitated the grant writing part, Sabrina and all of us have. I mean, we've been all in, but she's.
You just facilitated the grant writing.
Yeah, the money. The money is the important part.
They've worked really hard out there.
A lot of people have worked hard, but it's not to reduce the amount that you did. You did a lot of great work.
Yes,
on that, so we appreciate that.
Thank you. So when we go on our
so I get invited.
Our field trip.
Yeah,
you're invited.
Okay, good.
So, and this is just to bring it, so we have to get the acceptance from Commissioner's Court to move forward with the grant.
So moved.
Second?
Yeah, I'll second. I was elected.
I'm letting, let me second this.
I'll let you run with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, one and two. One.
Hey.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
14, discussion and possible action on approving that a new permanent building be built on the vacant land adjacent to the Orange County Convention and Expo Center located at 11475 FM 1442, Orange, Texas, to relocate the Vidor Sheriff substation that was damaged as a result of Hurricane Harvey. The project is associated with the Orange County FEMA Public Assistance Program. As part of the project, FEMA will be notified that the current building will be demolished.
Judge, Commissioners, this was discussed and talked about several times over the last several months about doing this, and this is coming to the court to get their you guys' approval and ladies' approval to move forward with that project. We don't have hard numbers or anything like that at this point. We don't know exactly what FEMA's going to reimburse us for yet or not. So,
I remember the past court, especially, there was a lot of conversation about building adjacent to one of the Vidor elementaries or something. Did that just not happen?
So that area flooded as well during Harvey, and that never came to fruition, I guess, as far as actually taking place. And where the old one is located also flooded and floods on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So that was the reason for
relocation of your Vidor substation. That's good with you and everything, too. I mean, I know it's got to work with you on that. So.
911 is also very interested in this project as well because it will also, the plans are anyway, for it to house the dispatch area, which currently sits at the sheriff's office on the river. So if we get hit with a major storm and a storm surge, we could be out of communications.
That's right.
All right.
So Sheriff, you're moving the dispatchers out? You'll move them out to this location?
Is that only.
That's part of the original plan that we do plan on coming back to y'all at a later date once we formalize a bunch of the plans and drawings to present what we would like to have.
Okay.
There's other benefits to it as well. We discussed with Nancy Beward about this. Part of that with dispatch falls under mitigation. It protects the dispatchers in the event of a storm. They're in a much better, much more protected area there. They're also more centrally located for the county. I believe that there's other communications that are also happy about looking at us going there from Southeast Texas Regional Planning.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no perfect solution in this world, but I really like the idea of having this facility in a place where it's safe, where it's accessible, where it's in the hub. And you can speak to this better than I can, but one of the most important things to set up in a disaster is communications. And we'll already have that handled if we can work that into this. So it's a plus for a lot of things.
Yeah. And we had a meeting today at Regional Planning, not about this, but afterwards a sidebar meeting that came up with the 911 folks, and they were asking how that was going. They're very interested in possibly even kicking some funds in to help that happen.
Yeah, we did. BMP discussed that last week, so good.
And it kind of kicks off or starts a more centrally located services that I'd like to see the county in the future continue.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because it does something else as well that a lot of these things are in the sky right now. It'll depend on what kind of funding we can receive. But one of the things we can do is expand that office to allow for representatives from the cities during an event to liaison with us on site right there. And if, God forbid, something happens and say Vidor's dispatch goes down, they have an alternate location where they can work from. And a sheriff kind of gave us a rundown on that. That's a huge plus in our area because Mother Nature likes to smack us around every now and then.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
She's done now.
So moved.
Second.
Three and four. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
And you're still up. 15, discussion and possible action on approving a new permanent modular building be built on the vacant county property at 165 East Railroad, Vidor, Texas, 77662 to relocate, I think that's supposed to be to relocate, it says relocated, the activities previously conducted at the Vider Wick that was damaged as a result of Hurricane Harvey. This project is associated with the Orange County FEMA Public Assistance Program. As part of this project, FEMA will be notified that the current building will be demolished. Bless you.
Judge, Commissioners, this is the Wick building that we had discussed, and earlier we had discussed a temporary building on site, but that's at this point not, that's cost prohibitive. It's a little cheaper in the long run for us to go ahead and rebuild that, and again, that was located in a flooded area that continues to flood, and this will pull it out of that area and it'll be more centrally localized for the western part of the county.
That's over there at the tax office?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I know that it's some services we need extremely bad on our side. I've been contacted many times over that. If we approve this, when do you think that might happen?
I think that part's going to happen fairly quickly because there's not going to be a lot of construction involved with that. The utilities are already in place from the previous building that was there, so that should happen pretty soon.
That's cost saving.
Do we have to build an elevated pad for it or anything like that, Joe?
You'd have to ask Kirk that. I would imagine we would. But to be ADD compliant or
everything.
I make a motion we
second
approve this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to add that we did look into the portable built, a temporary facility, and ran about $33,000 a year, and it would be in the way of building the new one.
Right.
Whereas a modular building can be put up fairly quick, and we're not out the roughly $33,000, or if it's 2 years, $66,000.
Yeah. Right.
And we'd have to eventually build a solid building anyway.
Exactly. Correct.
So that was the cost saving.
You do it right.
I'm sorry. 4-1. 1.
3.
2.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Joel's again.
Number 16. Discussion and possible action on approving that the Mooresville Commissioner's Office and Sheriff's Substation building located at 11867 Highway 62, Mooresville, Texas, be repaired to pre-Hurricane Harvey footprint. This project is associated with Orange County FEMA Public Assistance Program.
Judge, Commissioners, after the meeting and several months of discussion on the Precinct 2 building out there, that's what the final plan came out to be at this point. So. This is to move forward with that project as well.
Okay, I just want to interject something. By me, first of all, I'm so glad that the sheriff's office, Keith, is going to have a little substation out there, and the people in Mooresville are ecstatic over that. And I think they are glad that the commissioner's going to be out there. I originally wanted it someplace a little bit more centrally located, but it was going to cost more money. And by doing this and that building, because it was left like it was for so long, the joists are even rotten. I mean, I've been out there a couple of times to meet with the men that are working on it. But we're saving money by redoing this building. And we're going to do it right. And it's going to be a plus to Mooresville.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm glad I'm going to be there. Thank you, Joe, for working with me.
You mentioned the other meeting going on in reference to this one. Just for complete transparency, there is another meeting going on at this same time. Ms. Beaver is looking into a potential pile or pocket or parcel, I don't know what you want to call it, of money with regards to this building. The problem is if the money comes out to be, pick your number, $200,000. Well, we would normally be required to pay 25% of that, which would put us over what we're estimating fixing this building as it stands right now. But just so you know, if something does new come out of that, we'll bring it to the, or Joel, you'll bring it to the court's attention.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, and I want to share this one other thing. I have been sleuthing around in Connie's warehouse, and I have found that we're not going to have to pay a huge amount for furniture for my office. I found desk and some chairs that somebody else didn't want. But, you know, someone else's trash is another person's treasure. And that's kind of how this worked out for me because it's nice looking. So I'm saving the county money there. The only thing I'm requesting, and that'll be later on, is a new chair for my desk. And a phone.
So moved. I guess we're looking for a motion.
Yes. 1 and 7?
Second, you missed it.
But you was your office.
Two. Okay, it's my office. I didn't know if I was, that was appropriate.
1 and 2? 1?
Aye.
2?
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye.
And 17, discussion and possible action on approving the memorandum of agreement between the Texas A&M Forest Service and the regional incident management team member and the participating employer. The agreement is to allow the participating members to be part of an incident management team and authorizing county judge to sign the same.
Judge, commissioners, I spoke about this last week for the two that weren't here. Basically, what this is if you recall, during the 2016 floods, we did pull the trigger on that, and we had several. We have a regional incident management team that backs everybody up in our region. We have a pretty close-knit group, and they came over and helped us. And what this memorandum of agreement is to, it's under the Texas Forest Service because they're the umbrella agency for the state, Texas A&M Forest Service, excuse me.
State Forest Service.
That's under that umbrella for the state. So, and what this is, the agreement is allows, the court's allowing us to be part of that team. And if we do, we're not obligated to take any calls by any means, but it allows us to respond if needed to be.
So moved, Judge.
Second.
3 and 4? 1?
Aye. 2?
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Number 18, discussion and possible action authorizing county judge to sign a contract renewal between Orange County and CMA Technology Solutions for support of the IBM iSeries hardware and software maintenance.
Judge, commissioners, this is, excuse me, just a yearly maintenance renewal that we do for our AS400. We actually are in the process of getting our new AS400, but we have to continue the maintenance on this until we get that in place, and that probably won't be till April or May. So I did talk to them about what happens with this renewal, and we can cancel with a 30-day notice, and then they'll give us, they'll refund us back the money that we didn't use of the 1 year. So we'll get some of this money back once we get the new AS400 in place. And the cost right now for this is $10,040. With the new 400, it comes with 3 years included, so we won't have to worry about that for
maintenance or anything.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
1 and 3? 1?
Aye.
2?
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This one
right
here. It's out here.
19, discussion and possible action to revise policy 370, retirement benefits.
Good afternoon. After many, many, many meetings and discussions, there's been a consensus that the retirement health benefit that Orange County offers to their retirees in policy 370 need to be relooked. There were some major changes in the 2006-2017 years, and one of the main concerns was the sliding scale. And after understanding what I think the court, after meeting with all of y'all and many employees and department heads, the consensus was the sliding scale was not really going to work. And unfortunately, we have had some people retire under that, and it's going to maintain for those people that have retired. Even if it is changed here today, we have to make that statement. But today we're bringing before you two options for the policy, and both options have the sliding scale taken out of it. This is not what you want, then we'll skip and we'll go another way. But we're going to try this today as to what I think y'all are telling me. So in option one, with the sliding scale out, I'm going to go over the main change would be for any employee that was hired before October 1 of 2017. That would be going, like people like to say, we grandfathered them back in, but I don't like saying that because I just don't like using that word, grandfather. So for the eligibility to receive 100% county-subsidized health insurance, if you were hired before October 1st, 2017, you would have to be a full-time employee at Orange County and meet the eligibility requirements with TCDRS as an active employee of Orange County and to begin the monthly annuity with TCDRS at the time the employee leaves. Also, you would have to have 8 years of continuous full-time service with Orange County. Now, this would reflect in both of the options. That wouldn't be a difference in the options. That reflects in both of them. So the difference would happen if you were hired after October 1st of 2017. Now, option one is what was adopted. Don't get me with dates because there's so many in my head right now. But this was what was adopted at a prior commissioner's court was the employee who retires before the age of 60 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of their years of service. The employee who retires between the ages of 60 and 64 with a minimum of 80 points calculated as age plus years of service shall be eligible for 100% county subsidized health insurance until they reach age 65. And once the retiree reaches the age of 65, they would receive no further county subsidized health insurance. If the employee who retires after the age of 65, they would not be eligible for any health insurance at all.
Except Medicare.
Right. Now, it would be these requirements as well as they would have to take the annuity and be eligible with TCDRS. And please stop me if I'm going astray, because you know how I am. So option two is something a little different than those requirements. I think it kind of opens it up a little bit more. So if you were hired on or after October 1st of 17, the employee who retires before the age of 55 are not eligible for any retiree health insurance benefits regardless of their years of service. But employees who retire between the ages of 55 and 64 shall be eligible for 100% county-subsidized health insurance until they reach age 65. Then once that retiree reaches that age, they would not receive any further county-subsidized health insurance. And then if you retire after the age of 65, you would not be eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of years of service. That's straight in my head, but I know I think differently. Are there any questions or anything to add?
I do have a typo, I'm sorry, that I think I want to make sure, because in option two.
Right. Oh, and option two would also, you have at least 12 years of continuous service.
But that's where the typo is. If you look at.
It should say on or after.
It says have at least, you said the number you writ. Or it's written 10, but it should be 12.
Right.
And then it says 12 in parentheses. So I just want to make that correction.
Mine says 12.
Well, it says 12. Look at, read the.
The word says 10. The number says 12.
Page 2.
Right. But it would be 12 years.
That says at least 10, but it has 12 in numbers.
Right.
Because it should be 12.
It should be 12.
I want to make that correct. Okay.
I have a question. You said
there's
a sliding scale.
Sir, can you
step on up.
My name's Darrell Reed. I'm here. My wife's Annie Reed up at the district clerk's office, and she asked me to attend since I have a little bit of knowledge about retirement benefits. You said, what was the difficulty with the sliding scale? You said that wasn't a workable.
I think some of us brought it forward because we did not agree with the sliding scale. Commitments were made to long-time employees
that's a whole different issue.
We felt should needed to be addressed.
Right.
And the whole conversation started with, let's pull the sliding scale out.
Because sliding scale is pretty typical.
It can be worked. It's just a matter of that I personally, I can speak for myself, did not feel like that was a commitment was being filled. And for the employees that were hired previous to 10-117, we wanted to pull the sliding scale and
I'm just saying, as you said, it wasn't working with.
It's working everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I think that we want to make sure that we're trying to give the best option to our employees so that we can retain employees. We want to be
I totally agree with it.
So that's why we're trying to make the change.
I'm just saying, as we said, because most of the ones I've seen is at 50, you know, you get, depending upon years of service, but you can't retire prior to 50. It's normally an age limit.
Yeah.
And it scales from 50 to 20 years as well. You have to have 10 years of service, but you can't go before 50.
I think Larry's probably going to shoot you because we've thrown so many ideas over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, what's very typical of sliding scales is typically you have a minimum age at which you can retire, which is 50.
Right.
And then you have to have 10 years of service as a minimum. At 20 years, it goes from 50 to 100 on a five-year-per-year sliding scale. So
All I'm saying is, you said
it's not a workable solution.
No, it's not.
And I think that was my quote. And I will say this. My consensus with the meeting was it wasn't working for our employees.
It wasn't working for us.
Our employees were hired under a different idea.
Well, yeah, correct. But that's a totally different.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And I'd also like to clarify that when we say it's taken out of the policy, the sliding scale is
still in it.
The policy just limited to
those that employ, those that retired under that plan.
Right.
Because we can't change those.
Exactly.
Okay.
And again, like I said, I just wanted to be clear, Commissioner Viator stated, but we're trying to take care of our employees. We're trying to get back to a percentage to where we can take care of them. We want to be able to hire people. We want to be able to hire some people with experience, but then they have an option to be able to. And I think
comments were not meant to.
Okay. And I think that's why, I mean, I know we
and also retain people that are here because, believe it or not, some of the older people in the workforce have a lot that experience to be mentors to the new people that come in. And that age and experience are invaluable to the county, to any company, to anything.
That's right. And I'll make the most here in just a moment if somebody else hasn't, but because I know we beat this to death. But the 55 and the 12, the 55 years age, the 12 years service, one of the reasons that I leaned really heavy on that, because I want to be able to also, because I know there's been a lot of talk about hiring our military and the opportunity to hire those and to be able to get those folks. And this allows us to be able to do that and them have a second career choice. And we get some experience there and be able to help our military veterans out. And I think that's important for not only us, but everybody that's hiring out there today ought to be looking at that. And that's one of the reasons that I came to that number. And so that all being said.
Well, definitely. I know. of course, while we all 100% agreed on the sliding scale, we felt like that was a commitment that we would like to fulfill to our employees that have been here a long time. That's where we split. The employees hired after 10-1-17, the policy is in effect, and that is necessarily placed there to address an unfunded debt that we all know we have. And that's where the consensus kind of went all kind of directions, and we had some long discussions. Commissioner Godier, I'm sure, is going to be in favor of the option two, which changes the employees after 10-1-17. My concern is making another commitment that we may or may not be able to fulfill down the road by opening that up and increasing that unfunded debt. So that is the only difference in the two options is some changes to the employees after 10-1-17.
Yeah, and I will just said it because it was. You're exactly right. But I think that the changes that we made with the after 65, to where we're no longer funded because they can go on the Medicare, Medicaid option, that, when you look at it over time, and if I had my numbers in front of me, I could tell you the exact amount, but that saves us millions of dollars towards that unfunded debt. It's just going to take us a while to get there, but I think it's a fair option to maintain the people that we have and the promises that we made and try to fulfill those as best possible with that and cut the bleeding at the end. And I think that 65... does that. It saves us a lot of money, and that's the reason that I'm still pretty comfortable with that fact. So.
Well,
that in addition to starting it at 55, which beforehand it could have started much younger than that, so that also is another area on the front end that saves us money.
That's right, because before they could retire at a much earlier age, we carried them a lot longer. The 55, I think, is a good compromise to get us there.
And I guess me being the only one up here on Medicare, I'll admit it. I'm proud of it. But I was in the school business before, and we were on TRS. Well, when you stop, when you retire, you have an option. You get Medicare, of course, if you're 65, and I was 66. But you get that option. If you want to keep TRS, that's all well and good, but you pay for it. So it's really a Medicare with a supplemental that I pay for myself, and it's not cheap. So, I mean, we just have to make allowances for that, I guess.
Well, can I make my motion?
I'd like to ask a couple questions. Thank you. First, real simple, because we got a lot of people here that we've gotten off into the weeds, and I want to keep this where it's a little bit more understandable. We have two options in front of us. The only difference between the two options, and I'm saying this, please correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to see if I'm right, is the Group C employees hired on or after October 1, 2017. It's a sub C. That's the only difference, that and anything that refers to that.
Well, and that the sliding scale will no longer be active, and those employees that are hired, I think it was September of 16 to October 1st, 17, that were part of that slot. Well, the sliding scale is no longer active, so it is different on both of them for any grandfathered employees.
I just want to know the difference between the two options.
I know they're
all different.
Yeah.
With regards to getting rid of the sliding scale. So the only differences we're looking at here, because I think this is so important for our employees, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a second and read these out, and then I'd like to ask if any of the employees or employee spouses that are here or anybody would like to give their opinion on this. Option one, Group C employees hired on or after October 1, 2017. Number one, employees who retire before the age of 60 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of their years of service. Two, employees who retire between the ages of 60 to 64 with a minimum of 80 points calculated as age plus years of service shall be eligible for 100% county subsidized health insurance until they reach 65. Once the retiree reaches the age of 65, they will receive no further county subsidized health insurance. And three, employees who retire after the age of 65 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of years of service. That's option one. Option two, C, Group C, employees hired on or after October 1, 2017. One, employees who retire before the age of 55 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of their years of service. Two, employees who retire between the ages of 55 and 64 shall be eligible for 100% county subsidized health insurance until they reach the age of 65. Once retiree reaches the age of 65, they will receive no further county subsidized health insurance. And three, employees who retire after the age of 65 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of years of service. And anyone who hires on before October 1, 2017, it's the old rules.
Right, but also that they have to have 12 years of continuous service. So if you go to page 2 under eligibility,
It is.
We didn't write it. I guess we don't need to.
Part of the policy.
Well, it says so right here.
Well, that's the part that you...
That's what made the typo correction at.
Right, page 2.
So 55, so number 2 would more accurately simply say employees who retire between the ages of 55 and 64 that have 12 years of continuous service with the county shall be eligible for 100% county subsidized health insurance.
If they meet the eligibility to TCDRS and
right. Well, you have to retire. Yes.
Right, and not be terminated.
From age 65.
Okay, I appreciate that. I just wanted to clarify that. So really, we're making the window instead of 60 to 64, we're making it 55 to 64.
And
12 years of service. So now, anyone who works here or is related to somebody who works here or just has a strong opinion, Mr. Rothrock, anybody, you're welcome to come up and go ahead. Okay. Either one of you.
Well, no, it's...
We got to get you to come up here, though.
She didn't want to do it.
She didn't want to.
I don't blame you.
No, I was the one. I worked at the sheriff's office. I'm Charlene Guest.
Thank you.
Okay. I was the one that got hit between the eyes when the previous judge
because I came 12 years ago, and I'm 56, and so it did affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now you're asking me to pick the which ones between the two?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I'm getting confused about.
But you would fall under the one that 8 years. You wouldn't have.
Yeah, your previous.
Your grandfather.
Y'all are going to definitely change it back.
Yes.
I won't even have to pick that.
Yeah, you're
no. But I do.
You're not a prior 10-117?
But I do want to thank y'all.
We're putting yours back to where you were.
And I will be up here. I will say thank you for doing that, because I will speak for other ones that couldn't come up here today.
Well, we thank you for working for our county and doing a good job and sticking with us.
Thank you.
And I don't want to say that, whether we talk about the previous course or not, that's not our deal. I'm not going to say they did right, they did wrong. We all got our opinions on that. I just know that it's affected our hiring, it's affected our retention, and I want to make sure we correct that. That's what we're trying
to
correct.
And I agree with that.
Okay.
I do agree. Thank you.
I'd like to say something, and I want to make clear that when I speak now, I'm speaking as Denise Grimion, county employee, and not legal advisor to Commissioner's Court. So this is in my capacity as a private employee. So this is not legal advice. But speaking as someone who was an employee prior to October 1, 2017, left for a different job for various reasons, and then was asked to come back, and I came back after October 1, 2017, but this policy change, which had been made but was not published, was made in court but was not put into the policy manual. I understand some people came after October 1, 2017, and they were told about the policy change. Some of us were not, and some of us relied on the retirement policy being what was represented when they made the decision to come back to the county and to stay with the county, leaving a very good job. So I think that I don't have a problem. I recognize the unfunded liabilities and the need to protect the county. I am speaking out in favor of policy number two, because a lot of discussion is being said about honoring commitments and whether it was a faulty commitment. A commitment was made. I detrimentally relied on the policy being something and making a decision to leave a job that I love to come back to another job that I do love, but this was part of it. So I think that policy two is a fair compromise to those of us who came back and just didn't know any better because the policy didn't make it into the manual.
Thank you for your personal opinion.
If you give me 1 second, I'm going to let you talk, but I have to say something about that. Maybe it's because she's an attorney by trade that she's not afraid to speak up in public, but I want to encourage any county employees, when we talk about county issues, to speak up exactly that way. I firmly believe, and I may be on my island, but I firmly believe, and I think everybody up here believes, we serve the people of this county, whether they happen to work for the county or not. And that's our job. So it's a whole lot easier to do that and to make decisions that are helpful. We've got to keep the money in mind, but it's a lot easier to do that when we know what you're thinking and we know what you're feeling. I would like to encourage people to step up to that podium, tell us who you are, and tell us what you think. Nobody is going to, we're not going to take your birthday away from you or nothing. You are welcome to speak anytime you want. And it's a lot easier for me, I don't know about everybody else, but it's a lot easier for me if I get that kind of input. Probably because I'm a little slower than most. I don't know. Sorry, that's my soapbox. Come on up, sir.
Nice hat.
And I agree with what she said as well. But one of my questions is the continuous access. That was something that was put in before on here where it was cumulative before on the 12 years.
Say again?
When you said 12 years of continuous service,
right.
But prior it was a cumulative. Mm-hmm. If you go continuous, you're somewhat discriminatory towards women, because those are the people who tend to leave and come back, go for childbearing, et cetera. So before it was consecutive, not continuous. I don't know. The new policy has gotten so changed so many times. I know for the older employees, it's consecutive.
It's always been continuous, even back here in policy.
Yeah.
From October 1st of 1999.
Okay. It's been continuous.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about on the 8 to 12. But again, that's the only issue I have, is being consecutive versus continuous, which is typically consecutive is more typical. That way, sometimes people leave for a good reason, and they're an invaluable employee. They're already trained. They have value to you. Bringing them back, you know, that may make a decision. Well, if I go back, I pick that up, and it's a benefit. It happened to me in my career, so I know it was a very positive going back to my previous employer. That's the only comment I have. I think what y'all have done is great on that piece. So that was my comment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone? Come on up. Say who you are and what you
want. Hello, Ms. Flanagan.
I'm Amanda Flanagan. I haven't had to be here. That's a compliment to you guys. I have bigger fish to fry than to come down here and make sure that y'all don't want me here. My husband is 35 years Road and Bridge employee. Most of these talks affect him in any way, shape, or form. I'm glad she spoke because I'm confused as well. And I just simply wanted to make sure that the people that fell in the gap of we've been here, we paid our dues, years go by, and bam, pull the rug, hit her in the face. So as long as, I don't know about age versus points and years, as long as those people are covered, that's all I'm interested in. Sounds like, I'm assuming with the scale, that fixed that problem.
But with a scale for anybody hired prior to 10-1-17, fix that gap.
It gets them back to the policy they hired under. That's what it does.
Yes, and that's what we're...
I think most things that you guys pull, personal opinion, that happened previously is great. Can't be anything but great. I'm hoping to see more things. I'm gonna ring phones and rattle cages regarding buyback, buyback on vacation time and sick leave. I'm going to be a big, big, big fan of reinstating for, to me, it's spread out. I know it's not on the agenda, but I'm going to request at some point, somehow, either by phone calls or whatever, that it get back on the agenda. I think everybody got caught blindsided with that new policy that went into place, and you had people like my husband who never take their time, had a motorcycle accident, lost his time to sick leave, and then got caught in wherever you're at, you're frozen. So at some point, I'm hoping y'all will readdress that, because it's sprinkled in. How you pay that back is sprinkled in, but it's huge incentive for the employees to stay here, to build their sick time, to not burn through it. The comment was made, well, surely they'll be honest and not call in sick when they're not sick. Well, you just took away all their incentive. So I don't know that honesty would come into place. If I were an employee, I'd probably be sick a lot because I'm getting old. But at any rate, I just wanted to thank y'all for starting to fix some of the things, repair some of, mostly the morale. My husband dreaded going to work, hated his job, wanted something different. My ex-husband is Sheriff's Department, 23 years, loves his job, and I think does, both of those gentlemen do, I think, an amazing job for this county. They're married to this county. They love this county and the people in it, and they ended up looking for an out. Just any way out, going to work miserable, needing something different, and it's starting to slowly, they're starting to think maybe, just maybe we can stay at this place, so...
Well, I think that all of us sitting up here are trying to get there. And I think that, I'd love to say that this was my line, but it's not. I think the guy that owns Virgin Airlines was the one that stated it, but it's true, is that he made a comment. He said, I don't worry about keeping my customers happy. He said, I worry about keeping my employees happy because they keep the customers happy. And
absolutely,
that works for us. They're the face that they see, the Road and Bridge guys, everybody. I mean, I can name every office because that's what, the tax office, that's the face they see, is the Sheriff's Department, the people out there. And having some sense of comfort level with your job is huge in how you do your job.
Well, and when you have that many years of service, you have knowledge and you have... You take pride in your work, and you're not going to fill those seats with warm bodies, and that's all you're going to have if you don't have these kinds of perks, quote-unquote, in place for them. And I think y'all recognize that, and that's wonderful. It's when you have that many years of service, and that means you want to be in public service, and that's why you're doing it. But it's nice to not have to worry about when the other shoe is going to drop. So that's compliments to y'all. And if it drops, I guess I'm just going to have to start blocking off to come to the commissioner's court. I'd really rather not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Now can I make
it? Is there anyone else?
You don't know her.
How is that possible?
I'm not very
popular. How is that possible?
Because I already wrote it.
You're certainly welcome to do it. I'll second it or however you want to read it now, but I'm going to make the motion however we want to.
Then I'll make a motion to revise policy 370 as presented by the Human Resource Director, Lori Ardwine, option 2, with the caveat that we correct the typo D1A2 to say 12 years.
And on. Hired on 10 or after.
Doesn't say that?
No.
Okay.
I second that.
And before we vote, can I say something?
Mm-hmm. It,
as much as I disagree with going with option 2, I think it, as you all know, that I 100% support the pulling of the sliding scale on the employees. And I support that effort so much, I'm going to go against my better judgment for the changing of the policy for those after 10-1-17. So if you would like to start the vote, Judge, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, does the Commissioner 3, before we do it, Denise, are you good with the wording of the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Judge 3, 1?
Judge 3.
Okay. Aye. 2?
Aye.
Judge Aye, 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye. And I would certainly like to thank you, Lori. I know that and Chrissy and Denise and everybody that's worked on this committee and helped us trying to get to a place that we could live with and was good for our employees and good for the citizens because they pay the tax bills.
They almost drove Lori crazy.
For quite some time.
Well, and I just like to make a comment that there's a lot of people that say commissioners work part-time will come to my office because
we ran it out of there.
But
she locks the door.
I want to specifically say thanks to Denise and to Christy's office.
Yes.
Christy and Becky both have always helped so much with our policies, and I cannot go sit down without saying if it wouldn't be for Lisa and Marianne in my department, they are the ones that we are able to get a lot of stuff done. So
thank
all
of y'all
for your discussion.
For your patience with us sitting up here.
Ms. Tina?
Trying to figure this out.
Ms. Tina?
Yeah, could y'all reread what option 2 is?
Yeah, please.
Sure. The entire policy or just the difference? Because it would take a while to go through, but I don't mind. Okay. The difference between option 1 and option 2. Option 2 reads, in sub C, Group C this is on page 3 for any welcome come get copies. Group C employees hired on or after October 1st, 2017. 1. Employees who retire before the age of 55 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits, regardless of their years of service. 2. Employees who retire between the ages of 55 and 64 shall be eligible for 100% county-subsidized health insurance until they reach the age of 65. Once the retiree reaches the age of 65, they will no further county-subsidized health insurance. They will receive no further county-subsidized health insurance. I think this one here was easier to see. And 3, the employees who retire after the age of 65 are not eligible for any retirement health insurance benefits regardless of years of service. So 55 years of age, 12 years of continuous service, and you're eligible for the retirement benefits.
And 10, prior to October 2017, we just removed the sliding scale. Went back.
And it went back to what it was.
And actually both options did that.
Right.
But
I think that's probably the part you care about the most.
Tina, just ask, when did you come to the county, Tina? When did you come to the county?
97.
I think she's good.
We'll be emailing the policy out on the info, and then we'll add it to the policy.
Yes, that's what she just said, is that she'll be
that's
sending out an info. So 20, discussion and possible action by the court to authorize project development services by LJA Engineering for the possible realignment of Old San Antonio Road in Precinct 3. LJA will perform survey work, environmental assessments, historical assessment, geotechnical investigation, and Phase 1 engineering. Authorization, if granted,
is to include authorization for the county judge or pro tem to sign the work order authorization. The preliminary cost for these services is $69,130. The estimated cost for construction materials is an additional $163,197, with the Road and Bridge Department doing the construction. The overall project total is estimated at $232,327.
And is that supposed to be Old Spanish Trail?
Yeah.
That's
not, not Old Spanish Trail.
Yeah.
We call it both things. Yeah, but Old Spanish Trail is what we normally go by.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the,
on all
the signs
maps,
say OSR.
So.
Any case.
Yeah.
Y'all had directed me a couple of weeks ago to investigate getting services to help develop this project. One of the things that's rather unique about this project is that it is possibly a section of the Old Spanish Trail that has never been developed, so that it could potentially have historic impacts. And we don't want to, you know, take action here too prematurely and destroy something that might be one of the last pieces left. So that in those proposals that you have there, there's a rather large amount that's for historic investigation. I think it's 21,000 something. That may not be expended if y'all, you know, if y'all approve going forward with this. That may not be expended. What they're going to do is an initial investigation, try to find out whether there's going to be any additional scrutiny given this due to the nature of it. And if it turns out that none of that's going to happen, we won't expend that $21,000. It'll be back down in the $5,000 range. But we wanted to set this up in a way that if we started forward and then found a reason why this was going to be more expensive, we could then, you know, back out of the project at that point. So, you know, it's kind of both ways. We have worker authorization number two is the historical if we go the full-blown route. Worker authorization number one is the survey work, the environmental, the smaller version of the permitting, plus survey work, geotechnical, and stuff to get this rolling. So it's, you know, it could be the smaller number, 47,000, or we may go on up to that 69, depending on what's uncovered in the investigation.
Well, have you already investigated that piece?
Well, on the, I made a phone call to the Old Spanish Trail, the association, about, I think they had actually contacted us a couple of years ago or sent something in to us about it. I just contacted them about what we were planning to do. Of course, they went into the full disclosure of, you know, Old Spanish Trail runs from one side of the country all the way to the other. Some of it's Interstate 10, some of it's whole Highway 90, some of it goes into other interstates. I mean, it's just all been developed and stuff. We just actually have one of the few remaining pieces. Their only request was, at that point, whatever we did with the road, is that we allow them to designate it as an historical road, whether it be an interstate, whether it be a paved road or a dirt road or whatever it is. And so they really had no stipulations on it other than that piece, and hopefully that's what we find in our investigation, that that they kind of stick with that. Because I talked to the president and their group in length, and that's basically all they want, is that they want to be able to designate, they want to be able to put signs up that that's say Old Spanish Trail, and they're doing it across the country. And that's, that was really their only concern, is that they would be able, allowed to do that.
Can they do that even if it's moved?
Yes, because it's, they say that there's several sections of it that's moved way farther than what we're trying to move it. You know, because like I said, if you follow, if you look at the, if you go on their website, you can look at their website and look at the roadway that what it used to be back in, you know, before buggies and carriages and horses. That was it definitely looks different today, and they still designate it as that. You know, some of it doesn't even exist anymore. It's through they abandon the roads or whatever the case may be, and it doesn't exist. But in the places that it does exist, they want to do it because it's an area, not necessarily the actual roadway. It's the pathway of how they got from
point A. I can only imagine the changes to OST in Houston.
Well, yeah. And that's one of the problems. You know, the organization that you're referring to is not the regulatory organization.
Yes.
That's a different group. It's that bunch that I'm concerned is going to give this extra scrutiny because this is still a dirt road on the path of the Old Spanish Trail.
Yeah.
The pavement is on both sides.
I'm sorry?
This is paved.
All the way up to it.
Up yes. To it on both sides.
Mm-hmm. So this dirt section, has that ever been paved?
No.
No.
Never. Grew up running that road.
Yeah. And it's become a safety issue.
And that brings up a concern I have, and John can tell you, the road's in pretty bad shape from 105 to the portion you're talking about, asphalt or chip sealing or whatever you want to call it. I just don't think it. I know the city of Vidor owns the other portion, and I know they'd be very interested in hearing from the county and working together on that street. You're talking about putting fresh asphalt down in a center section there that's dirt, when the rest of the road is in horrible shape. So you're really not. I mean, you're doing some service for your citizen that's in the county, but they got to travel down this other road.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the cities and the county can't partner together while all the machinery's mobilized, all the equipment's there, and enter into an agreement like they have in the past, and do the whole road.
Well, and I want to say, because we haven't, there is, I'll make sure I say this right, there is a concern, safety concern, and that's why this section has been being addressed. And I think that there's no doubt, believe me, I want to do the rest of the road too, but our concern today is this section, for safety reasons with the school buses and different things that have to travel that road.
And I 100% support this effort.
And so I would love to look at the rest of it. I do, because I think we need to do it, and especially work with our cities if all possible. But just as far as this section right now, there's a reason we need to.
And I agree. I'm in favor of moving forward. I'm just opening up the conversation for future. That you're going to have all the equipment mobilized, you're going to have all the machines there. You already hold almost $2,000 of the city of Vidor's material in the laydown yard from 2 years ago. It's a prime example to reach out and work together to service citizens that are all ours.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I agree.
So, but I just wanted to open that conversation up. This project needs to be done if we can accomplish it.
I think so. Would it be the city of Bridge City and the city?
City of Vidor.
It'd be city of Vidor.
If it went that way.
If we moved the rest of the road.
Right.
Not this section. Well, that all being said, unless there's other discussion, I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the project development service by LJA to move forward.
And I'll second that.
John, one question is, when we were at the nursery school, they were talking about some excess stock material that we could get from TxDOT. This might be a perfect project for that part.
Well,
we get it. I actually made that phone call. I'm sorry, Mr. Strand. Yeah,
there's some sitting right out there.
I made that phone call when I got back, and we do actually get that product.
Right. It's 1,102 tons, I think, this year they give us. And they give us approximately the same amount each year.
And so some of this cost may be reduced as we move forward, but this would be the high expectation so that we can move forward with the project.
How long is that section?
The total section is about 2,700 feet. The part that's right next to that old sand pit's about 1,600 feet.
So roughly half a mile.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion from 3, seconded by 4. Any other discussion? 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Thank you, Cole.
And you have the that authorization was for the judge to sign, and
yes,
okay.
The judge to sign.
21, discussion and presentation of the county's new express voting machine.
Yay. I've already voted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you got there?
Yes.
Hello, Judge and Commissioners. We're here today to do a little presentation, Donna and myself, on the new express vote that we're going to use for the first time in the May 4th elections. Okay.
Machines. We'll have quite a few of them.
for early voting in each of the locations and for election day. When you go into vote, they're still going to look you up on a poll book and look up your name. And
hey, Dan.
The printer is going to go with the poll books are actually going to, after they take your information, it's going to actually print on here your information, and it's going to pull up your specific ballot. So for demonstration purposes, we don't have a printer hooked up to voter list because that's not in the demo. So the voter is going to receive this with their information on there. They're going to take it to the machine. They're going to insert it here in this little cutout here on the right side, and you're going to insert it this way.
It matches the cutout.
Matches, yeah. Yeah, matches the
and
cutout
it feeds
on the slot.
It in there.
Demonstration purposes, this is not what you will see at the first. This is because the printer is not hooked up to tell it which one to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the first screen that you see after you insert your ballot. It's going to ask if you want to vote in English or Spanish. I myself can vote in English because I can't read Spanish.
Okay, me too.
And you're going to select it. It's going to check it, and then it's going to have a selection of the first contested race. You're going to select, and you're going to read up here, vote for one, or whatever it says. You're going to select whichever you want to vote for.
Yeah.
So we just need to do this.
You do it by touch.
Yes, you're going to do it by touch. So I've selected this on the Democrat. So to go to the next race, you're going to hit next. For the next one, this, next. It says favorite Texas point of interest, and it gives you a whole list. And it says vote for one. Let's say Padre Island. And we're going to go next. And then it's going to say if you are in favor of retaining Texas, our Texas as the official state song. Yes.
Yes.
And we're going to hit next. Okay. So right here on the screen, it's going to be a summary screen. It's going to see each of the contested races or each of the races that you voted for. If you'll notice on here, it gives you check marks and it gives you these little explanation marks. Okay? Those means that you may have made a mistake or you could have voted for two when you only voted for one. That is just asking you if you may want to go back and see that race. Okay? So we're going to go back to this one. It's a favorite Texas sport teams. It said you can vote for two. So I'm going to vote for Dallas Cowboys.
And she's Texans.
I like it. Good.
Thank you.
Good.
And then it's yellow telling you. And then it also says that Proposition 1 was not fully done. So when I hit that, it didn't actually mark it. So it's telling me that it didn't mark it. So I'm going to go and make it yellow with a check mark on it, because sometimes you click something you think you see it, well, it's telling me that you didn't see it. And then I'm going to next. Okay, then you go back to your verification screen right here and kind of verify everything that you've marked on there to make sure it's developed. When you get through, you're going to hit next. And then it's going to tell you if you're through, everything's correct, then you're going to print your card.
What if you found, what if I looked, just like you said, you looked at it and I thought, oh, I didn't mean to do that.
One of those mistakes, you let it print out.
How do I do?
When you look at this, if it's wrong, you can take it back to the election judge and she can cancel this one.
And give me a new
one.
Okay.
You will have to, they'll put this, they'll put the number on this, they'll
and void out.
Okay. It's just like spoiling the ballot, just like you would have done before.
Okay.
You were at the table and marked it the wrong race or the wrong person, and you bring it back and you ask for another one.
Okay.
And then they take that and spoil it.
Okay.
So it's very easy. It's user friendly. It's also they have a touch screen right here for people that may be blind. They have a braille We have the ADA machine that has headphones.
Oh, yeah.
If you hold deaf and you don't understand or whatever, you can use things right here. So it's for anybody that has disabilities to use it.
All those things are on every machine, or can you transfer? Okay.
So each machine doubles as a regular voting place and what we used to use the auto mark for.
Now, the only question I have about it is I think it's a great unit, and I'm glad we're going that direction. Is, I know with regular voting and stuff, there's the privacy issues. So when you have a question that comes up and says, hey, how do I do this? It's been kind of simple in the past. You just tell them, you need to check it. Well, with this kind of check, but you didn't necessarily need to look at anything. In this case, how are they going to handle that between if someone has a quit, they're in the machine and they can't figure it out, and they go ask somebody, one of the election judges, to help. But is there a way they're going to handle that? Because they're going to have to walk over and look at that machine that someone is privacy at that point.
Yeah, there'll be a little privacy screen right here. The voting machines, but if they're going to have a question, we're going to hire a few people. So they're going to be standing. I'm going to say six machines in early voting. I'm going to have two or three people actually standing by the machines.
Okay.
Because people don't know how to do it, and they're going to need help.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Right. We are going to have people that are actually going to say, hey, do you mind, I can't get this done, or do you mind if I look at, what you're doing to figure out what you're
doing. Okay. Because that was a question I had someone had asked me about is, if they had a problem with their paper ballot, they picked it up and they carried it over to you and said, hey, how do I do this? They can't carry the machine. So,
I thought you were telling me. Standing by there waiting for you to ask.
We won't have no more paper ballots.
Now, for the county, as of right now, yes. On election day only. But for the city and school elections, since they're smaller and we have enough machines to go around, we're going to use these machines. And for early voting for the county, you're going to have these machines. But on election day, I only have 34 of them, so I only have enough to go around to each one of our voting locations. We are going to have more coming in and order more in the future, and we're heading towards getting countywide polling locations down the line as we get more election machines. That way, anybody can go anywhere in the county and vote at any place.
That would be
wonderful. That is the process. We have to have enough machines to cover every county polling location that we have, and we can also condense those locations down to 65%.
Sure.
Once we have the machines.
Okay. I do too.
I have a question. Has the decision to go to this already been made?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
What's the economic advantage?
Well, when we first talked about this, the original machines were getting very old and they were needing a lot of maintenance. Further, they aren't secure.
And what machines are you referring to?
What's the auto marks? The ADA, they're required to be at each location by law. Okay? These have taken their place. This is the new updated version.
Okay, so this is only for handicapped people?
No.
It's for everybody.
But they could, a handicapped person can use it.
An ADA machine. The machines that
so
we
my
had,
question is, what was the economic advantage?
Because the ones we had were broken and they,
how many
they
those,
don't.
How many do those anymore. You have today?
I don't have any of them today. Now they're gone.
How many did you have?
We had 34.
You had 34 before?
I had 36, I'm sorry.
Okay, so you had 36 of these. If stage one was to replace the machines that were no longer usable for the handicapped people?
They cannot be replaced.
I understand. So this is replacing the machines for handicapped people that you've lost your machines you used in the past. You know,
correct.
Function.
Then, and also.
Okay, so I understand the need to do that. The second need is to add additional machines to where we eliminate the current paper ballot altogether?
Yes.
What would be the economic benefit of that unless it counts in the, so we don't have to recount? You still have a paper that has to be recounted? I'm losing the...
Yeah, we're still going to have a paper trail.
I understand the reason for the first 36 machines. The question is, you said you're going to start buying more machines to, I guess, change our current voting process.
Well, she was just stating down the line in the future, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, who knows? that, you know, she's wanting to make it to where, what is it? I just don't understand economics.
If you have policy questions, you need to address the court. The ladies here are just giving a demonstration of the machine.
I can tell you, years ago, it's been several years ago, I was asked by the court to look at the county line holding locations because that's what most of the state of Texas does now. Okay, most of them are all going to countywide polling locations, so everybody can vote everywhere, because most of the counties have DREs, which are totally all electronic. They have no paper trail whatsoever. Okay, we are a paper county. And I asked the court, instead of us going to DREs, when our machines start breaking down, if they would wait, and please, let's get to a hybrid machine that doesn't only do electronic voting, that we have a paper trail. And when these came out, I asked us to wait for another year to make sure that they work.
I understand where you're at. Now, my issue is moving forward, they have to have some cost to them. They have to have some maintenance. They have to have
yes, sir. And to answer your question, in the future, the idea of buying the new machines eventually as time goes on to replace the old machines is the same economic benefit as buying a vehicle, because yours is 10 years old and you're spending more on maintenance than you are on a new car. The idea in the future is to replace all of our machines, and we want them to be compatible.
I'm not understanding. I don't use a machine when I vote.
Well, but you, I think that, you know, the at this point, but the thing about it is also you have to go to a specific location to vote.
Right.
We want to be able to take it where, I think what we're trying to get to is where you can go to any location, but which is more efficient for not only us, because we have to hire election judges and all those people that we pay for. If we can shrink that down and let you vote in more locations, then it makes it more efficient, money efficient for us, and more efficient for you, because then you're not having to go, because we have some voting locations that may only have 30 people vote, but we're paying the same thing to those election judges as we're paying for somebody who has 5,000 votes cast at that location.
I think
so it's an efficiency issue on top of replacement of equipment that's old and we can't repair.
Ballots are getting more and less.
They have to sit around that thing for 3 hours.
I still don't understand the economics.
Well, the economics again is just, it's just the same thing. When you have something that is breaking down,
36 machines currently. Right?
But the ones that we have now, that we still have now, are just as old. It's going to be a matter of time before they start breaking down. The other issue that you mentioned, and I didn't even think about that earlier, I appreciate that, Tina, is the paper ballots themselves cost money. These paper ballots, do you have a blank?
Yeah.
They're just a blank sheet. This thing will print the whole thing for you, so that's going to save some money. In the end, the idea is to save this money, and, again, another advantage to the new machines is they actually have security in place. The old ones didn't, so this will help us with that as well.
How about the counting? How does that happen?
The
counting of the ballots themselves.
The same way we do with the county, we have a central counting machine. It's called an 850, and it counts the ballots.
So this thing won't count.
No, that's not.
So you use this.
The counting
machine
is.
You currently use to count will count things?
Yes, sir.
Right.
It's compatible.
I have another question. I think you mentioned that the name will be on the ballot. Will it print on the back? The person's name is voting.
No, it's just the barcode.
The barcode
will tell the machine what ballot type to pull up.
Because if you're voting, say, in the city of Orange election, you vote in over here in Orange, but you live in Bridge City, it's only going to pull up the Bridge City ballot stuff information.
No,
no.
No, we don't put the name with the vote.
That's not lawful.
But we do have to make sure you're voting for your appropriate commissioner.
When you fill out your information for your ballot on the machine, and that's all. Correct. It'll just say basically what election it is or something like that. But your information will be coded on here for ballots to pull up your certain, like it said, 101, 102, your certain ballot style. So it will tell this what ballot style specifically for you to pull up.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate you setting all that. How
Thank
heavy
you.
Is that thing?
How what?
How heavy is that thing?
It's way less heavy than
I mean, it looks like you threw it up there with nothing.
A lot less than the other.
She could carry it. It took two of us to carry the X-bar.
Yeah, the other weighed 100
pounds. She's used to throwing that saddle over the horse.
So if anybody wants to come and play with it after court, you're more than welcome. Also, I'd like to
say that Thursday at the public library, that little addition that the Orange County City Council has there, we're going to be doing a demonstration there from 1:30 to 4:30. I will have several machines there.
That's this Thursday?
This Thursday. And then also, I believe it's March 14th, I want to present at Butler City Council.
Like what time Thursday at the library?
1:30 to 4:30.
Have you set up anything in Bridge City or West Orange yet for their city council stuff? Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The city of Bridge City is not having a election.
Well, I know. I just didn't know if we wanted to.
Yeah, and basically these cities have been like City of Orange has called past
because of their election. Okay.
As called. And we're also having a series or something like that tomorrow, so everybody else presentations
are more than happy to come.
Thank you. Bye, Ms. Flanagan. Oh, she's slid out.
So this was a discussion, no action. Move on to 22, discussion and possible action regarding adjourning commissioners' court meeting.
Motion.
A second.
4 and 2, 1.
3, 2.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 4:06.